Today's reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, and it's on page 1037 of the Pew Bibles. So this is the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, starting at verse 22. Jesus calms the storm. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he'd broken his chains and been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear, and so he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord.
That's a pretty dramatic passage, isn't it? And yet it all starts so quietly. Jesus says innocently, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." Following Jesus can lead to all sorts of unexpected adventures. So they do go off to the other side of Lake Galilee, and hopefully here we can see it on the map. So they go off to the region of the Gerasenes. As you can see, there's lots of places on the shores of the lake, lots of places to the west, but here to the east there was very little. You might say they were going to the back of beyond. They were going off to Timbuktu. Speaking of which, this is your chance to shine, 10 o'clock, because we've got to the £16,000 question. Anthony, in which country is the city of Timbuktu? I'd like everybody to answer. You have four options there. Moment to think. In which country is the city of Timbuktu for £16,000? Those of you who think it is in A, Mali, please put your hand up. B, Mongolia. C, Tibet. And D, China. I think the majority went with Mali, and the correct answer is Mali. Nico will give you £16,000 next week. My daughter works for Tear Fund, and she is being sent out to Mali next week. And this is what the Foreign Office says about travelling to Mali. Next slide, please, Anthony. So Timbuktu is right in the middle of the red there. And the Foreign Office says, we advise against all travel to Timbuktu. And we advise against all but essential travel to the yellow area, which is where she's going. Should I be worried? Well, she's a pretty sensible girl. She's been to dangerous places before. She's been to Togo. I think she's been to Brunei, Kazakhstan. Once she went to the other side of the level crossing. And she is doing God's work. She's going on a Christian trip with a Christian organization. Surely God will look after her. Or will he? Are Christians protected from all dangers? From some dangers? From more dangers than most? What do you think? God doesn't put a magical force field around us that repels us from all danger. Instead, we are warned in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for people to devour. Today's reading provides a fearsome example of the devil prowling around, looking for people to devour. So when Jesus says, let's go over to the other side of the lake, and the disciples obey, they are truly setting out on God's work. Was it plain sailing? Even for these skilled fishermen, it was not plain sailing. Far from it. Christians are certainly not immune from danger and misfortune. But Luke does show us in vivid colours that whatever the situation, Jesus goes with us. He's right in that boat with us. Through the fiercest storm, Christ is with us. We'll sing that shortly. Through the fiercest storm, Christ is with us. But I wonder, in a difficult time, have you ever found yourself thinking, where is Jesus in all this? It's as if he doesn't care. It's as if he's asleep. It's no coincidence in today's passage that he was asleep. Jesus will never abandon us, but I think sometimes he does say, go on then. Go on. Off you go. Do your stuff. It's like when he sent the 72 out. Go on. It's over to you. Do my work. Do your best. If and when the bad times come, many people conclude that Jesus is not there with them, and they walk away. But it's actually the opposite, isn't it? Those are the very times when Jesus can help us the most. If only we will seek him out. If only we will cry out, Lord, I need you. I need your help. And that's exactly what the disciples did, didn't they? They cried out in their distress, Lord, we need your help. And the storm was stilled. Well, praise God when that happens. But often it won't be that straightforward. I think of Jesus himself praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, would you take this cup from me if that is your will? But God sometimes does not take the cup of suffering from us. He will walk alongside us. He will strengthen us to go on, but he won't necessarily take the cup from us. Well, I've been pondering all week why Jesus did say, let's go over to the other side of the lake. It makes, in many ways, no sense at all. His time was short. In the time this journey took, he could have gone to all those other villages around the shore. He could have spoken to hundreds of people, healed many, won many followers. But instead, he goes off to Timbuktu. Why did he do that? Well, I think partly because this encounter with Legion has much to say to us today. But perhaps more fundamentally, he went because there was a man who needed him. There was a man who desperately, desperately needed him. This poor, wretched man. Naked, homeless, living among the tombs, possessed by demons. He is utterly lost. Jesus made that hazardous journey for that man. Of all men, he made it for that man. He went because this was a fight for a man's soul, and it's a fight that only Jesus could win. This is an example of the devil prowling around, roaring like a lion, fighting with all his strength, trying to devour a man. It's why the storm brewed up from nowhere. The devil was truly roaring. Now, I don't know where you stand on the idea of the devil and demonic forces generally. A recent poll suggested that less than 50% of British Christians believe in the devil, which I find quite surprising. That was contradicted by a poll in the US that suggests about 80 to 90% of Americans believe in the devil. And I don't know how those figures can possibly be that different. It just suggests there's a lot of confusion about this topic. Well, the gospel writers weren't confused, and nor was Jesus. So I'm going to take their view. The devil does exist. Not as the unhelpful comic book caricature with a forked tail. He's a potent supernatural force who is bitterly opposed to God. Jesus spoke about him many times. All the Gospels speak about him. Paul spoke about him. Peter wrote about him. And Jesus met with him. There's a lot of mythology about the devil, but he is not a myth. The devil exists, I believe. So I just want to quickly mention three of the meetings between Jesus and this devil. One at the start, one in the middle, and one at the end of Jesus' ministry. So early on, I'm sure you know the story, they meet in the wilderness, and the devil tempts Jesus and taunts him. It's a fight centered on Jesus himself. And Jesus wins for himself. Today's meeting is in the middle of Jesus' ministry, and it's a toe-to-toe fight for a man's soul. It's war, it's violent, it is dangerous. 2,000 pigs die, but the man is saved. Jesus wins the day and rescues a man's life, a man's soul. The third meeting was at the end of Jesus' ministry. That was all-out war. That was a fight not for one man, but for all mankind. And it took place at the cross. Jesus didn't win the day. He won for all time. He won forever. And he won not for himself, not for a man in Gadara. He won for you and for me, for all mankind. He won your soul. He fought to the death. For your soul and my soul. And he won. Time is short, but I'm going to make a few brief comments on today's extraordinary encounter. The first thing, as we see so vividly in that passage, any form of demon possession is very dangerous. I don't think it's a common thing. Many of us may never see it, may never come across it. But if you do, it is essential that you seek expert help. Speak to Richard, speak to Nico. Above all, don't try to deal with it yourself. It is very dangerous. But to consider each of the main characters in the story, what of the demons? Well, I'm struck by their strength and by their ruthless hatred, by their determination to destroy this poor man. But I'm also struck that they bow to Jesus' authority. Verse 28, what do you want with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? We beg you, don't torture us. They beg. It's comforting to know that all that terrible power is under Jesus' feet. They flee at his command. What of the man? Ferocious, naked, demented, living among the tombs, despised by men, an outcast. But Jesus loves him and goes all the way to Timbuktu to save him. Jesus also sees in him the perfect evangelist. We see the outside, Jesus sees the heart. He is transformed from raving lunatic to man of God. How amazing. I'm not sure what Nico was like in Argentina when God called him to the ministry, but some interesting thoughts have just come to mind. God does call amazing people to do amazing things. We shouldn't write people off. We do it too easily. What of the pigs? Well, it seems very cruel that they die, but I suppose their destiny was always to be slaughtered. Their violent fate does show us the awesome power of demonic possession. But Christ's power was and is far, far greater. How awesome that power must be. And there is symbolism at work here too, in those pigs. To Jews, the pigs were unclean animals. Symbolically, a dead pig is a fitting home for a demon. The Foreign Office advises against all travel to Timbuktu. I'm sure they would have advised against this particular trip as well. Jesus' followers are not guaranteed an easy ride. When hard times come, let's not complain, where's God in all this? It's as though he's in Timbuktu. But let's instead remember the example of Jesus' intense love for men. He will go out, he will risk his life to save a man's soul, fighting the devil to the end. Here he risked his life for a man's soul. Months later, he went to the cross and he gave his life for your soul. He gave his life for my soul. Thanks be to Jesus.